I don't know where they probably, perhaps they might write it over. It said Isaiah 4:24. Now Isaiah 4 only has 6 verses in it. So I don't know where you meant Isaiah 5:24. It says, what is the meaning of the scripture and when shall it come to pass? Isaiah 4:24 and Isaiah 4 has 6 verses. If you can, ever who wrote it, if you can think now, maybe and rewrite it again, I can get to it, you see. I won't know just where he was referring to. Isaiah 4:24. What is the meaning of the scripture and when will it come to pass? Now, I won't keep long. I got a... All right, thank you, brother. I got some places to go and this. You know, I was thinking, I had a scripture here, or excuse me, a letter from Mr. Baxter. And before we start on the service this morning on this, I'd like for you to pray with me just a moment. I have been come out of services with the very best of intention to going into to my service overseas just in the next few days. Now I get a letter from Brother Baxter. Brother Cox read it to me over the phone last night and gave it to me this morning, that they are trying to set it back again now again. And I don't know whether that is Satan trying to hold me back, or is it God just waiting for the time to be right? I don't know. They want to set it back a little piece. And they've just kept setting it back since October. October, November, December, January. This is almost 4 months now that they've set it back. And now the vision has come. Here it is written here in the Bible, just exactly what will come to pass, but when, I don't know. Now, I have told the people, just with good faith, what they told me, that to be ready along this time. Now, people think that maybe I'm just not honest about it. When's he going to go? But when I get these letters and they tell me, well, they can't do it just yet, this has to be done and this has to be done, then I feel bad facing the people. I don't know what to do. But one thing, I'll do this, and you all with me. I'm going to commit it to God. Say, now, Lord, when you're ready, I am, see. And if I just, sometimes it's the church that's out of cater. Now it's visas or something, and, you know, just things like that. It may be Satan trying to do it. So while we pray this morning, and each time when you're praying through the week, you pray for me and ask God that if it's Satan, it's moving out of the way, see. And if it's His will, hold me here, see. He knows just exactly what to do. He may be something other. He's moving around, getting the picture right. I never want to get ahead of him. Oh, when you do that, it's terrible. See? So I just feel that it may be, I don't know which to say because I don't know. It's just like our dear brother George Wright. Many of you know his conditions, don't you? And you know the doctors has given him up, that he's supposed to die a week ago or more. See? That brother George Wright. I went down to see him, and while down there, I prayed, and prayed as sincere as I know how to pray for him. And then coming home, and I wondered what would take place. And after a few days, well, I had a vision last Monday morning, and was waiting. There's a woman that I prayed for with cancer, and I seen her stand, and it opened her up. She just filled with cancer, just filled her back. But she's going to live. I know that. But now, Brother George Wright, I didn't get the vision clear. I was coming, same vision, I was coming out, and I seen his place, his house, and on the left-hand side of the house where them trees are standing, a willow tree, right along above there, I seen some clods of dirt almost big as my fist rolling down. And I heard that angel, which is standing by my side, said something about a grave and Brother George. Now, it was either this, that it was Brother George's grave that they were digging, or it seems to me, now remember, and I wouldn't state this, and so I believe we got a PA system moving too here, recording system rather, but I want to make it clear like I did to them. I think it was this. There's a bunch of people down there laughing at him because if he's bleeding, if God's going to heal him, as the doctor said, he can't. See, the blood clot done into his lung, he's spitting out blood and everything else. He said this first little grain goes to his heart or his head, it'll paralyze him or kill him, see. And he's 72 years old, passed a lot of time. But I believe that it was this, that he'll dig the grave of some of those that's laughing at him. Dig the grave. And now, I didn't know that he was a grave digger, but he is. When I talk to him, he does dig graves. That's what he does. And it seemed like it's something about a grave and a digging a grave or something like that. And Brother George, right, I've asked the Lord now for about 4 nights to repeat it to me again, if he would. It come along about 7 or 8 o'clock one morning. So I trust that he'll make it clear. But I do believe with all my heart, now this is just that I was right when I say that he'll dig the grave for some of those that's laughing at me. If I've got it clear, but I'm not too sure of it. It was something about digging a grave, and Brother George Wright, I think that he was to dig the grave of somebody was laughing at him. Now, God is love, and oh, we just love him with all our heart. Now, this morning, we don't want to take too much of our time here on these questions. I'll answer them the best of my knowledge. Now, friends, I can make so many mistakes on these things. I'm just a man like all the rest of us, and Brother Neville or any of these other ministers or so forth can answer them just the same as I could. But I do this for a purpose, to kind of find out what's on the heart of the people. Then if I see four or five pulling on one thing, then I think, uh-oh, here we are. Well, I know where we're at now. Some little questions in the church. And now, let's just forget about the little questions. And the main thing above everything is to keep the church in harmony and in love of God and moving on. If we can all believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness, if the woman sat next to you, the man sat next to you, if he doesn't believe that Jesus will actually come visibly again, let's just go right ahead anyhow. We don't agree with him on the scripture, but let's make the church move on for harmony, because in there we're going to catch some more people. But when the church is out of harmony, then you hurt the church. Then you hurt the cause. You just can't do it. But when we can agree upon one thing, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's right. And sin is gone. And we're pretty close to home line then, Brother Neville. I've got a brother, we're blood relations. My, how we disagree. Miserably. But just the same, we're brothers. Now, I was thinking of this week, coming week, if I didn't go overseas, maybe Brother Powell's come over and he wanted to start a campaign in Louisville. And he wanted to get the armory. We had a little healing service over there the other night, and the Lord worked some marvelous things. And so, but then I find out that those brothers from Del Rio, Texas, Jessup brothers, is having a service in Louisville, and they got their best speaker over there for these next coming weeks, and said he didn't know just when he was going to leave. Charles, I believe it is. That's to be there this next week, and I certainly wouldn't start a revival nowhere, and a campaign of that kind going on. And they're also having a healing campaign. And so the healing campaign is in the afternoon, this afternoon. And so I wouldn't want to start a meeting and them having a meeting there, because I know what it is to be somewhere, and it just, while holding a meeting and somebody jump up and start a little meeting like that, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't give it the right taste, you know. So we'll just wait a little later on. Maybe the Lord will help us. He'll help us anyhow.
Amen.
So we just believe and hold on and be faithful to God. Now, shall we pray? Father in heaven, let thy blessings shine upon us now as I go forward to answer these questions. Oh, God, just some of them here I've never even looked at yet, and only two or three that I read just a while ago. I pray, Father, that you'll help me and give me wisdom and understanding that I'll only speak that which is right. Grant it, Father. And may I have thy wisdom, and may the Holy Spirit come down just now and grant the wisdom that's needed. Bless us together today, Lord, as this little tabernacle group here. Bless our dear, beloved brother, Brother Neville here, Father, who's laboring along a shepherd here in the pasture field that's trying to lead the sheep to the green grass and the deep clovers and out into the water and then back to the shade tree and caring for the sick and the needy and the little crippled ones and those who are weary and try to doctor them up and bring them so they'll be real sheep. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll bless him. Give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding and help us all together now, Father, and we'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In some of these here, I'll get them out of stuff and different parts of Scripture where they were belonging to. And now, we just start on some and answer right along until we can get get as many as we possibly can out. I believe we can get them all, and I'll try to watch here. We can get out early. The first thing is just a question, just a straight question. I was baptized at the age of 13. Should I be again? Now, that's a nice little question to ask. Well, now, friend, I always leave that to the person. Remember, I don't know. There's one that I do know who wrote. That's this one right here. And the man handed it to me himself. And somebody asked me a question back there that I should answer. And he never put it on paper. And I said, if I got enough time after these years, I would answer it. But now, this year, was I baptized at 13, shall I be baptized again? If you've been a Christian all along, since you were 13 years old, a believer in Christ, I'd just remain like you are. I wouldn't, if God has blessed you and gave you the Holy Spirit since then, and a baptism is only a form. It's just to show the world or the congregation that you're with at that time, that you, before witnesses, prove that you have believed that God sent His Son, and He died and rose again on the third day, and you was buried into Him, and have risen to walk in newness of life. And them same people that watched you when you was baptized will meet you at the judgment. See?
Amen.
And then along if someone, a stranger says, yes, I have been baptized with my unto my Lord's death and burial. See, I think that baptism, I do say it's essential. I wouldn't want to say it isn't essential, but it is essential because it's every commandment of God is essential. Don't you think so?
Amen.
It's essential that we must be baptized. Jesus gave this statement in St. Mark 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And when he's talking to Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born of water and Spirit. He will in no wise enter. See, it must be baptized. I believe in immersing in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be raised again in a newness of life, to walk after the commandments of God. But you say, Brother Bill, did you ever baptize anybody over who had been baptized when there's a little fellow and then be rebaptized? Many times. There's a scripture over in Revelation, the second chapter. Speaking to the church, he said, repent and do your first works over again. And many of them interpret that scripture to say this, that that means you got to go right back and do the same thing over. Well, if you'll notice, dear Christian friend, I'm not disagreeing with this now, see, because we got the baptistry filled up. We're ready to baptize anybody that wants to be baptized at any time. But we're not disagreeing. If you want to be baptized, if that's something standing in your way and you feel like you should be, you go do it. That's right. You go do it. Don't let nothing stand in your way. You make yourself perfectly clear. Just like if you've taken something years ago and you feel like you should go make that right, you go make it right, no matter what it is.
Amen.
You keep everything clear, because you come up to that thing, you can't go any farther until you get that out of the way.
Amen.
You just got to lay aside every weight and the thing just to easily beset you. If you want to be baptized again, go ahead. That's the thing to do. I've baptized many over, but now to that scripture that you're referring to, that wasn't talking to an individual, that was to a church. See, the church, what they had done, they had lost their first love, see, the real cream that they had in the beginning. And he said, unless you repent and do this first works over again, start right back and get the thing, you're talking to the church. Unless you repent and go back again, well then, you're just going to move the candlestick. But if you want to be baptized, if you was baptized when you was 13 or whatever age, why, you be baptized if it's in your way. But now to say that scripturally, I could say you should be baptized again, there's only one scriptural way that I could announce that people was rebaptized. There's only one scripture in the entire Bible that people was rebaptized. And that was those who was baptized by John the Baptist. Before the Holy Ghost came, Paul in Acts 19:5 told them that they had to be rebaptized again in the name of Jesus Christ in order to receive the Holy Ghost. See, now you don't have to be baptized to receive the Holy Ghost, because you can receive the Holy Ghost when your heart's right. See,
amen.
Because on Acts 2, Peter gave a farmer to a farmer to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But then in Acts 10:49, God turned around and gave the Gentiles the baptism of the Holy Ghost before he was ever baptized at all. You see? So see, it's the condition of your heart. Then said Peter, can we forbid water, seeing that Jesus received the Holy Ghost like we had it at the beginning, you see? So then he constrained them that they must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then Paul in Acts 19 said, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, he finds certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we not know not where there be any Holy Ghost. He said, unto what was you baptized? They said, we were baptized unto John. He said, John baptized unto repentance, saying that you should believe on him to come as on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized again in the name of Jesus Christ. So then, that's now on this, it's, but just saying that you were baptized in Christian baptism at the age of 13, and you've lived a Christian life all the way along, or if you've backslid a few times. I don't know where I got on backslide now. I wish somebody was going to have to ask me that. But on backsliding, remember, you backslide every day. No way at all for you to keep out of it. All right. But you backslide to the people in the church, but not before God. You backslide on Christ, but you don't on God, because if you, when you sin, you're gone. But you're constantly falling. But Paul had to die every day. Is that right? He had to die every day, repent every day, and just constantly repenting all the time. See? And if Paul had to do that, then I'm going to have to do, aren't you? That's right. So but now, if you've been redeemed, and you feel that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you from sin, then and you've lived a Christian life, I wouldn't think it'd be necessary, but if you want to, all right, it'll be fine. We'd be glad to do it. Now, here's a little a note that someone gave me back there. What position will the church be in when the gospel returns to the Jews? Now, the person that did this was referring here to Luke. He told me, brother, that he was referring to where it said the Gentiles would trod the walls of Jerusalem till the Gentile dispensation would be finished. That's in Luke 21:24. Now listen closely, and this may get it. Beautiful question. Wonderful. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, and know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now let's catch this close now. The desolation is nigh. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies. Now that's been a lot of confusion right there with the people. And approach it from a historical standpoint with the Bible. Now the Advent brethren, the Seventh-day Advent brethren, they believe that Jerusalem will again be compassed about with armies. Well, now that could be true, because Scripture has a compound meaning many times. And how many knows that Scripture has compound meanings of prophecy? Sure does. Yes, sir. It'll say it and mean it just exactly for this time and turn right around and repeat it again back over here somewhere. See? Like, and I'll refer to one, if I can think of it right quick. Oh, yes, here's one. In Matthew 2, said, and Jesus was called out of Egypt that it might be fulfilled, which is spoke of by the prophet, saying, I call my son out of Egypt. Now, that prophecy referring back in there by the prophet was exactly referring to Israel, which was God's son. He called out of Egypt. That's right, in Genesis, Exodus. But it's it was referred to there, but was repeated again out of God. Israel was God's son. You know that. He told Pharaoh, said you what he had done to his son, and he would take the life. He would let his son go. So Pharaoh, God taken Pharaoh's son from and all the death angel that night. So it's a compound meaning. And so now, as Jerusalem compassed about with armies, but literally historically. That was doing about 80-96 when Titus had besieged Jerusalem. But I watched this closely, and you can see the difference. Now, I believe that Jerusalem will be compassed about with armies again at the end time. But I believe this year was comparing with when Titus besieged it, when the desolation thereof. Now, the desolation speaking was when Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, noticed. He said, when you see the abomination that maketh desolation standing in the holy place, see, the abomination is unclean. that make a desolation. Desolate is to do away with, is to destroy. When you see the abomination that make a desolation standing in the holy place, scripturally fulfilled, when Titus besieged Jerusalem, took the beginning of this chapter where they asked him, when will the end time be? And what will be the signs of the coming of Christ? And they told him about the temple, how goodly it was adorned with great stones and things. He said, there'll come a time when there won't even be one stone left upon another. This will be torn down. He began to give them signs and wonders. Then Jesus, speaking now, turns now to Daniel to fulfill, because all prophecy must dovetail one with the other. The whole scripture is not broken nowhere. Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken. Amen. There am I going to heaven? Sure I am. The scriptures cannot be broken. To you who don't believe in signs and miracles and wonders, how could you get away from that scripture?
Amen. The scriptures cannot be broken. No more than Christ can appear above, can be done away with. Just as his great body above and every move of his body reflects the motion down here on the earth, it's bound to be. Then if Christ, if their divine healing, the power of God is taken from the literal church or the spiritual church here on earth, then it's been taken from Christ. He no more. But oh, what a picture, as the true vine there, and we are the branches of that vine. See? Just as the vine moves, so does the branches move. Is that right? How beautiful then, if his great body, oh, his great bleeding arms and dropping tears and his bleeding sides and his striped back hanging over the earth like this between God the Father and the mortals of this earth are pleading and loving him, just as his body comes into motion and power, it's given into the church. Just as he says, I'll move my hands this way, and his literal body moves, go here and preach the gospel, you'll see that church move right straight and go, my shadow has to move with my hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. Oh, my, when I think of that, there it is, his body moving. Go ye into all the world, demonstrate the power. No matter if we learn our theology and teachings and so forth like that, we bitterly fail. But now, the hand of God is a-moving. Signs and wonders are appearing.
Amen.
Why not? Jesus said to Daniel when he was casting out devils, not getting off of this question now just for a moment, but Jesus said when he was casting out devils, he said, who do your sons cast them out by? If I with the finger of God cast out devils, who does your sons cast them out by?
If you got a better policy, show us. See? If I was the finger of God. Amen.
Just take the finger of God. There's God above Christ. Christ above the church. There's God the Father. It's a certain certain thing. Then God the Son moves his hand and the shadow follows him. If I with the finger of God cast out devils, who does your son cast them out by? Look, I want you to notice, oh, no matter how great a disease or how much affliction the devil can put on you, he just takes his finger to move it.
Oh, my. My, look at them big, strong shoulders and arms and muscles.
Just his finger moves every disease and cast out devil. That little thing the devil is. He just takes his finger and moves him away then. If I with the finger of God, now let me show you some love of God. But when a sheep was lost, he didn't use his finger. He laid him up on his shoulders. And he took his whole being, hands, sheep around his shoulder. The strongest, most powerful part of man is across his shoulders and back. You know that. Where all his arm muscles and muscles move out. And he's taken the whole sheep, put him up on his shoulders. And here he comes, not with his finger to cast out a little old devil, but here he comes with his, all of his muscles of his legs, all the muscles of his arms, moving through the wilderness, packing a lost sheep on his shoulder. Oh, my. If I with the finger of God cast out devils, who does your son cast him out by? Oh, hallelujah. My. All right, back to this subject. But when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart not out, and let them which are in the countries enter into. For these shall be days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are a child, unto them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Notice how beautiful here the scripture is to make it specifically. First thing, by the edge of swords, this last one will be by atomic bomb. See? But this is by the edge of swords, and the Jews was to be led away captive to all nations. It'll never be that way again. Did he get it in Palestine for the last time? See?
Amen.
This is referring to days that's passed by. And that's just exactly, according to history, come to pass just that way. They were led away in all nations. Every nation under heaven today, you find Jews. Oh, every nation. You go to China, you find Jews. Go to Russia, you find Jews. Go to the little islands, you find Jews. Scattered and among every nation. What is it? God's prophecy. God intended it.
Amen.
An old Jew's a mile, folks, brother. When you see them, I know they're blind and led away and deceiving and everything, but they was deceived by God that you and I might have sight.
Amen.
That's right. But I'll say this in the spirit of prophecy, by the Bible, that the hour of the Jew to return home is at hand.
Yes,
sir. He hardened Hitler's heart, drove him out of Germany, hardened Mussolini's heart, drove him out of Russia. He's driving them from everywhere like he did in the days when he brought them out, and then when they got out into the wilderness there and was ready to cross over, what taking place? God visit the land with great plagues and things,
Amen.
Which you'll repeat again with his two servants, the two olive trees of Ezekiel and also of Revelation 11. He will repeat those signs and wonders. Look at them two witnesses, Revelation 11. I'll give power unto my witnesses, and they'll close the heavens in the days of their prophecy, or stand plagues upon the earth as they will. There you are, the two witnesses in the last days. I know modern teaching is that that's the Old and New Testament. That's wrong. That's wrong. It isn't two witnesses. That's absolutely a return of Moses and Elijah. You notice back there, neither one of them, Moses, he died, but where did he go? He had to raise again. And Elijah was translated even without death. He'll have to die because every mortal will have to. So he'll have to return back again. And there's the two witnesses. Now watch. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, 24th verse of the sword, and all shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trod down of the Gentiles until, amen, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Shocking, isn't it? To know that we have a limited time. God said so. The Gentile dispensation was issued in with King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, how remarkable, how much time I could spend on this just for a few minutes. But notice, everyone wants your question. But while we're on this, let's think of it, because it's very essential now.
Amen.
Right now. Look, God led the people of the Jews. They were never a nation. They were just a people. And they never was an organized church. They were just the church called out. Never was an organization amongst the Jews. They're always led by God. Then when politically, nationally, they wanted to have a king, and God gave them a king, and it never did work. God's their king. God's our king. That's
Amen.
Right. God's the king of the church. Now notice, then when they were captured and carried away into Babylon because they tried to impersonate the nations of the world. What a beautiful picture today of the church trying to impersonate the world out yonder and carried away. Carried away with their living.
Yep.
The church lives just the same as the world does. Carries on, acts just like it, everything else, and claiming to be the church. Well, you can't do that. And also, your very life proves what you are. What you are, as I said in the beginning, what you are somewhere else is what you reflect here. What you are, what your terrestrial body is up yonder, what your celestial body is somewhere else is what you're reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. If you're still vulgar-minded and so forth in the spirit land, you're vulgar-minded here. If you still got malice, envy, and strife, here in the spirit land is that it reflects back here. But if your whole innermost being has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out and out of weight that's been cleansed and purged, and it's reacting back in the flesh.
Amen.
Just as you see, there it is. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting.
Amen.
Now, in this time, the end time, how does this carnal comparison, impersonation of Christianity would all mangle up into one big Babylon? Just like it is back there, and they were carried away into Babylon. Is that right? And the Bible said the angel of the Lord called and said, come out of Babylon, my people. Confusion. This, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian. All that just confusion. There's no salvation in it at all. Now, don't say I'm saying the Baptist people have not salvation of Methodist people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the church and its political power. It's politics. And if politically speaking, because you're a Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Catholic, has nothing to do with it. God don't even recognize it. And it's in Babylon today.
Amen.
And God's calling him out of church, out of all of them. He's pulling out the true in heart, making his church. How beautiful. And notice, I could state something here that would shock, but if it is, listen now. Watch how Babylon, what's taking place at Babylon. When the force was brought on to the true worshipers, remember, just a little handful, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, of the true worshipers that went out into captivity, when God called them to really show their colors, what they were, they were forced in to worship of an idol. Is that right? Idolatry, they was forced in to worship an idol. And they had to bow before an idol. And if they didn't do it, they were persecuted. Oh, what a picture you could pull out of Daniel, Revelation, tying those together and show by the scripture that the church is coming into the same type of persecution before she's called out. That's the way the Gentile church is brought in. That's the way the Gentile church will be taken out. As she comes in, so shall she go. And look how he saw the image. And remember, the image, this is a home place now. Look, I believe that the image that King Nebuchadnezzar made was of Daniel, a holy man. If you'll notice, King Nebuchadnezzar already had called Daniel, called him Belteshazzar, which was his idol. And it made an image, and no one after Daniel had been serving this lion's den and so forth, and he said no one should serve any other gods and so forth, but Daniel's God, he was probably the image of a holy man, great statue, and everybody was to bow down to this. But the church, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel being the leader, as Christ being the leader of the church, and they were to bow before this image and do worship to the image. Notice, and you notice in those times Daniel was silent. Amen. Oh, I hope you get this. Daniel was silent. They had to make their own choice. In the day, and they're going out of the Gentile dispensation, there will be an image, and everybody will have to bow before this image and do worship. Though it be holy as ever, you're not to worship an image.
Amen.
Image worship. Now, notice, oh my, right at the end, Daniel steps in again. How marvelous. That night before the great feast of the concubines and so forth, there come a handwriting on the wall, teeny, teeny tekel operation, across the wall. And the interpretation, nobody could give. It was wrote in unknown tongues. Nobody could interpret it. They went and got their best scholars. They said, we don't know. They went and got all their soothsayers and astrologers. We don't know. We don't know about it. We never seen such language, never heard such in our life. But there was a man. God had his man.
Amen.
Daniel was there, said, go get him. Said, for the Spirit of God live in him. So Daniel come up there, begin to read and interpret that language on the wall. And he gave, what was the interpretation? Not, oh, blessed be thou, O King, live forever. But it was a raw, burly, a flat rejection of him. Said, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Look, that's the same way as that supernatural brought in the Gentile kingdom. So the supernatural is taking out of the Gentiles. The kingdom was issued in by the supernatural. It's going out of the supernatural. The walls of Jerusalem shall be trod, shall be, with Gentiles will possess it until the Gentile dispensation be finished. Then God turns to the Jews. Amen. Oh, friends, I wish we could get that right down good. Don't you have about a week on that one subject? See? So we can thoroughly search it through the Scriptures. That watch, listen close now what he said. Jerusalem shall be trod down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be finished. The siege of Titus then come in, taken in Jerusalem. He said, now you heard about the abomination making desolation? Yeah. Well, that's when the Gentiles come in. Yeah, we understand that, said the disciples. Now, the Gentiles has had the government now.
Sure.
Jerusalem and the Gentile government then? Yes, sir.
The Romans, they still had the government in Jerusalem.
And it started back under by the abomination make a desolation. And Daniel spoke of it, and I said, that time's near at hand, or you're going to tear down this temple and put up the Muslim of Omer is going to stand on the same place here, the Mohammedan, Gentiles, and it's going to stand there. Gentile means unbelievers. That wasn't the church now. That was a Gentile.
See? The unbeliever.
Now, and that will stand until the Gentile dispensation will be finished. Then when the Gentile dispensation be finished, the great prince is the standard of the people, who is Christ.
Amen.
At the end time. He came to him in Daniel, who heralded the white as wool, like to see him in Revelation 1, to the Ancient of Times. And the judgment was set and the books were open. Books, plural, was open. And every man was judged out of the books, the things was written therein. The books were open. He saw him coming and 10,000 times 10,000 ministered to him, saints come with him. Is that right? And Daniel. And the books were open. That's the book of your life. And every man was judged thus, the sinner. Judged thus. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And every man was judged. Now notice. Always remember carrot and trees. If you don't, you're sure get mixed up. There was three classes of people then on the earth. There was three classes in the beginning. There will be three classes in the ending. What? Jesus returned with 10,000 times 10,000 ministered to him. Remember him saying, is it not a small thing for you to take, or not a common thing, to take your business and your troubles to the law, when know not that the saints shall judge the earth? The saints judge the earth. Hallelujah. I think of that model. This scene coming out here with a blood-washed after the millennium, the redemption and the redeemed of all ages standing in his presence. The blood-washed bride. Not just those who are good people. They certainly missed the first resurrection. The Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. Is that right? That's those who had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but refused the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Just the elect goes in that time. Just the elect takes the millennium.
Oh, then, brother, what type of people should we be? I want to live through the millennium. Let us lay aside every weight of sin, disease, and set us. If the fellow says something wrong or does something this way, pray for him and keep moving on. Let your one alternative be set towards God. If nobody else makes it, you make it. So there's going to be an elect who's going to live through the millennium age and will go in and out with Christ for 1,000 years. And then they shall go up into glory with him and return again. When the resurrection of the wicked is brought forth, then the millennium is set. After the millennium is over, then Christ will go up with the church at the end of 1,000 years, he will return with the church.
Amen.
Christ comes 3 times. The first time he came to redeem his church. Is that right? The second time he comes to receive his church. The third time he comes with his church. See? He comes to redeem her. He comes to rapture her, to be caught away in the time of the plague, and so forth, returns back for the millennium, lives through the millennium, and then the great king and queen comes down for the judgment, for white throne judgment, set, the books are open, and there stands the redeemed Holy Ghost born Church of the Living God, standing there in her beauty to judge. The books were open, judgment was set, and every man was judged up. That was the sinner. And another book was opened. Not for the Holy Ghost bride. She'll never take it because she's in the rapture.
Amen.
If you're filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, God's power is moving in every fiber of your body. What good would it do for you to stand in the judgment? You're already judged and been received.
Amen.
And filled. And already. Already translated into heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Not you will be, you are now. Right now translated. Those who he called, he justified. Those who he justified, he glorified. And every redeemed person in the world this morning that's under the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, hath everlasting life and can't perish, and already in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And shall never come into condemnation.
Amen.
Already redeemed. Isn't that wonderful? Already redeemed. Sitting in heavenly places now with Christ, and though already glorified. Already glorified. You say, Brother Bill, does the scripture say that? Jesus said that. Or the scripture says that of the writers. Paul, he says, those whom he justified, he hath already glorified. Those whom he foreordained, he predestinated. Those whom he predestinated, he justified. Those whom he justified, he has already glorified. That is it. Oh my.
Excuse me.
Already glorified. Then, if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, all fibers and beings have already been preserved in God. There is a glorified body already waiting here. I have to go to as soon as this goes. Those who he has justified, he's already glorified.
Amen.
What I was saying a while ago, the negative and positive. Wish I had the education enough to bring that out and make it sensible and clear to you. But I just can't find out what I'm talking about. But I can't present it the way I want to. Red Sea, all these things are putting out the materials as well. The Jews real rich, then that same thing will pollute their camp again. Yeah, they'll come right down to the cities of the world. Russia will come down and say, we just got to have that stuff. That's uranium and everything. Yeah, we got to go get it. And as they go down, then it'll be the Battle of Armageddon. That'll be when God will stand like he did in the valley for the children of Israel and fight again. But that'll take place until the Gentile dispensation will be finished. And when that time is finished, you come on. Now, to my humble opinion, dear person who asked this question here, to my humble opinion about this of who these giants were in those days, now, Josephus, because I know our church just like me, I'm a seventh grade dummy, and I don't care about education things. I think it's the greatest hindrance the gospel's ever had. But yet, just sometimes I pick up a book or two. I'm not dealing with people like myself. We're just all on the same line. We're just the common people. And I'm so thankful the Bible said the common people heard him gladly. The aristocrats, then there was another class. But the common people, just the ordinary run of people like we are, people who love God, don't have much of this world, have their children, their families. We love God and like to go to church, give the clothes off of our body for his kingdom, anything like that. We love him. We'll do anything. That's the common people that heard him. And it's still the same way today. The common people heard him gladly. Now, the rich man's got too much of the earth to think about, see? And a real fellow down there who you can't do nothing with him on Skid Row, he just won't pay attention to it. But just the common people heard him gladly. Now, in Josephus, his writings,
He said, now here was his interpretation of these sons of God, the fake daughters of man. He said that the fallen spirit that were on the earth. Now, you know that in the Revelations, the 12th chapter of Revelations, the woman standing the sun, the red dragon had his tail around two-thirds of the stars and pulled him to the earth. We realize that Satan, in the beginning, set up a kingdom in the Northlands to be more beautiful than Michael was. And there was that he declared war on heaven. And he pulled two-thirds of the angelic beings with him. Is that right? That's the reason we're on a minority. The small side of the people this morning in the Christian realm, the Holy Ghost born people, because they are in the little part. That's right. And if you watch the spirits as come up out of Genesis and begin to raise up, watch that real classical, high classical church worship. Look at it back down in Cain. Look at it today. It comes right down in, moves on down to the end of the Pharisees. There's two sects of them, Pharisee and Sadducee. See? Move right on out, look at today in Catholicism and great moves like that, great, beautiful places. But look at Abel with the little lamb, see? Just a common. Look at it in the days of Jesus. Look at it all the way down through the scripture as you move it up. See how it is. We're living right down in that day that when God has called his church all the way down through that little streak, little red streak has come right down through the Bible all the way of the blood-borne people. Notice. Now these sons of God, to my opinion, certainly not disagreeing or trying to act smart or say that Josephus didn't know what he was talking about, but he was a man like I am. No matter how much scholarly he was just a man. And the only thing he had is research old scriptures and so forth like that, and old relics and so forth, but he had no more than what we have today, the Holy Spirit. Now he was just going by the natural mind, but we are taking it by the spiritual mind. Those sons of God, when they were angelic beings, I believe they are. And I believe that Josephus said the same thing. But he said they forced themselves and pressed themselves in human flesh and taken sons and taken the daughters of men. Now, we're mixed up crap. We're different here this morning, men, women, and little girls and boys. And I speak this so the adults would certainly understand. But when he says that when the angelic beings seen the desire of women, how men live with women, if they force themselves into human flesh, so, and they tuck unto them the daughters of man. Well, I don't believe that. I believe this, that they were born there in Canaan. And they were born out of the group of kings that was set forth to the land of Nod, and he had a mark upon him that nobody would kill him because of his murder today, and murdering his brother. But if you notice, even the Israelites found some of those people when they went over there. They were so big. He said we looked like grasshoppers upside them. Is that right? Hundreds and hundreds of years later, they were great burly men, big fellows. And sometimes they do dig up the carcass of them and they find that they were great men. Now, where I think that come from, now here's a little of my own doctrine. Now, it's just church folks. See, I think that Cain was the son of Satan. Now, I know you disagree with that in my own church, does. But that still, to God, shows me different. I believe the same thing, see. He was the son of Satan because I couldn't place that ungodly, murderous spirit coming out of God. No, sir. He had to be after his daddy, and his daddy was when the Satan got upon the serpent, and the serpent was not a reptile. The curse made him a reptile. He was just like a man. He walked upright, and he was with this woman out there, and she committed this adultery and brought forth her first son, which was Cain, the nature of his daddy. And I believe that big beast was up like a man, and he walked upright, and that's where his great giant comes from. That's exactly. Now, that's my own thought. I could be wrong. That's my thought, see. But they were great men, and if you notice, God standing there before Adam and Eve, he said, I took you out of dust, thus you shall return out. And because you listened to the beast instead of to your husband, if you took life out of the world, you bring it back into the world. And he said, serpent, off comes your age. See? You're not going to walk up no more. And you're not going to be a beast, you're going to be a reptile now. And on your belly you'll go, and dust shall be your beast. That is where I think that they came after the nature of that brute that lived with, like an animal, that lived with this woman, that brought forth this child, which was half brute and man-like, a great big old fellow, and then he went out there, and his children began to come from him, and then beast sexual lust like their daddy in the beginning, that old lust beast found these daughters and things and took unto them the daughters of men. That's right. And what brought on these thoughts sure come down to that same lineage, which is these fallen spirits that come up on the people. Remember, the same spirits that live back there today live today. Look at it today. Well, we've got people in this country that this, I'm an American, you know I am. But let me tell you, this is the lowest nation outside of Paris, France, that I know of anywhere in the world. It's so degraded. Why, even the foreign people in Africa, in Sweden, and up there, they say, what in the world is the matter with you American people? Don't you all have no respect for your women? They're all on the songs, on the radio, some kind of old, dirty, vulgar song about women. Don't you have no respect for your women over there? All our songs are about women and sex and lust and things like that. It's because the devil has got a hold of it. Exactly right. Old Hollywood and televisions and everything pushing out that vulgar and ungodly stuff. The voice, old newsstands and everything else. Everything, some sick woman or something. That's exactly what started in the beginning. It's ending the same way. It's a shame. And the backbone of any nation is womanhood. It comes tomorrow. When you break motherhood, you broke your nation. We've got to a place today, our women smoking cigarettes and things like that, drinking whiskey and carrying on. It's disgraceful. A young man has got to find a wife that's even a virgin tomorrow. He'd have to go around some little Holy Ghost church almost to find one. That's exactly right. Or a man is separating and things like that. He's got a little decency about him. You might think that's crazy, but brother, you look it over and find out. You see if that isn't the truth. It's a disgrace. All right. Then was the son of God, which are at, now that I can explain my, when I know if I have another question, then here's what brother did. The Bible says, Eve said, I have got a son from the Lord. Exactly right. It had to come from the Lord. The Lord's the only creator there is. God created the devil. How's that? God created the devil. God created every fallen angel there is. Is that right? And certainly. That was their choice, not his. He created you. What are you doing about it? You'll be judged the same as they are. They are. Certainly. These were sons of God. But they had fallen from grace. And they come into these beastly men, run out in lust. They seen women, they just bought them. Oh, they're still here. The immorality of America, so a man without the Spirit of God would throw a baby out of mother's arms and ravish her. Without God, he's not much better than a beast. He's still got that beast, ungodly nature. Remember, they say religion takes you, say a man went crazy over religion. Religion's the only thing that'll give a man his right mind. That is the religion of Jesus Christ. I can prove to the Bible that you're not in your right mind until you found Christ. That's right. That's pretty strong, but I can prove that to the Scriptures. That's right. You become beastly, lustful, everything. Until you found Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He's the lovely one. I'll admit that people study too much and try to go too far ahead and try to think too hard and sometimes have mental breakdowns and things on account of studying about the Lord. You must quit that. You don't have to do that. The only thing you have to do is fall in love with him and just go right on loving him. Amen. It's not trying to push into something or make yourself something you're not.
Amen.
Just go ahead and let God use you the way he wants to. Just yield yourself, commit yourself, and walk on happy, singing, rejoicing. That's the way.
Amen.
The Bible said all things work together for good to them that love him. So just be sure that you love him. That's the only thing you have to know.
Amen.
Just love him, walk on. Say, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. You love this? No, sir. I love you, Lord. Say, Lord, don't you want to be, would you like to be a great preacher? Would you like to be this? No. Now, Lord, if you want me to be, I will. If you don't, amen. I'll be right here. It's a door at this church. Well, I believe if you do something like this, the people think a lot more in the church. I don't care what the people think. I wonder what you think, Lord. I'm going to stay right with you. What do you want me to do? I love all them. Sure. Well, now, you know Sister So-and-so, you don't love her. Yes, I do, Lord. Yes, I sure do. I love her. Why? Because you love her, and you and me don't have to love her. Because it's you and me loving her out of me.
Amen.
That will get it. But I think that that was those beasts that fell in there, that lustly beast, that fell through. Does the sons of God mean angels or spirits from heaven? That was a perfect question. All right? I believe that they wasn't angels. See? They were beings, sons of God, like the Scripture says, not angels. They were sons of God. And they come from heaven to the earth and was put into flesh, not pressed themselves into flesh. I believe all flesh is born sexual outside of Jesus Christ. I believe he's the only virgin-born being that ever was.
Emma, Jesus Christ.
And I don't agree with Josephus on that, on the great historian, but I do believe that they were supernatural beings that come down and took over the spirit of man, and I believe they're right here yet today. They're walking around in Jeffersonville, today, unsane, beastly, lustfully, ungodly spirits that live right in human beings. Now, someday these men will die. If there's another generation, they'll come right down on man. Remember, God takes his man, but never his spirit. This is the same Holy Spirit that they received on Pentecost. It's the same devil in religious forms that persecuted the Christ. It's the same devil that's in church today wearing long robes. They don't have to wear, I don't mean the robe on their body, I mean the robe on their soul. Well, that means a miracle of the Pharisees. You talk about modern Pharisees. That's exactly. Having the Bible said they'll have a form of godliness but will deny the power from such, turn away. Get away from it.
Stay away. Keep yourself away.
That's still then sons of God, but they're in a fallen condition. See what I mean? Some of them are ministers. Some of them are deacons. Some of them are elders. Some of them are bishops. Just as pious as they can be. But the Bible says, now I'm going to answer the question, brother, that you asked me a while ago. Somebody said, Brother Graham, I want to know the place where I can tie down and say, this man has the Holy Ghost because he did this, or this woman has the Holy Ghost because she did that. There's not a way in the world for you to know it. God is the judge. We are not the judge. Just preach the gospel. Live. A fellow come to me here some time ago. I was preaching about it. I said the other night. He came up my house and said, Brother Branham, I want to get rid of my sins. I want to be a Christian. He said, on my porch. He said, I heard about a great man, an internationally known man by the name of Billy Graham. He said, I went to his meetings and he said, all that wants to become a Christian, hold up your hand and accept Christ as personal Savior. So I raised up my hand and said, now I'll stand and have a prayer. So I stayed and prayed just as sincere as I could be. He said, that didn't do me any good. He said, then I went down to Earl Roberts' meeting. He said, I heard of him, and I heard that I had such joy. He said, I went down to Earl Roberts, and I asked him, what must I do to become a Christian? He said, you get back in there. I told him, I held up my hand at Billy Graham. He said, you stay in that inquiry room in there. I'm telling you, you're so happy you speak with tongues. He said, I went in there, and I prayed, so I spoke the tongues. He said, that's come out, didn't do anything good. He said, and then I went to another meeting, and they told me I hadn't been sanctified yet, that I had to get sanctified and get happy and shout, give me joy. So I prayed and prayed, and I shouted. He said, still, I said, brother, every one of those things are correct. Every one of them are good. Holding up your hands, speaking with tongues, shouting, I believe in every bit of it, but yet that's not the thing. See? It's accepting the person Christ Jesus. See? It's not, these things are attributes. Shouting, speaking in tongues, running, shouting, crying, praying, whatever. That's just attributes to follow. The first thing is to accept the person, Christ Jesus. See? So there's no evidence that we could say because the man's cried. I've seen men cry, crocodile tears. And still was just as big a sinner as he could be. Listen, Jesus offered us as a sheep. Is that right? The shepherd knows his sheep. Anybody ready to hear a goat cry? Brother, you better be a shepherd. If you don't know the difference, a goat will cry just exactly like a sheep. Little billy goat get hung up out there somewhere, and little sheep on one side went, bah, bah. Just the same. And I hear him down at the altar just a crying, oh God, sobbing away like that. Oh God, and a goat all the time. That's right. Shouting? Well, my house seems shocked. They just run across the floor and jump up and down and shout. Now you say, Brother, you don't believe in crying. Don't take me wrong. Sure, I believe in crying. But I'm saying that's not no evidence. See? Because they both cry. I see them shout just as hard as they can shout. Yes, sir. Just to carry on like that. As long as you know what I'm talking about. I've heard them speak with tongues without living kind of life. Just do anything. That was no sign. But you say, you're against it. No, I'm not. I believe in speaking in tongues. It's God's gift in the church. If I take it out, I take the part of God out. If I took my tongue out of my body, I wouldn't have a complete body. The body of Jesus Christ has tongues in it. The body of Jesus Christ has tongues. You take it out, you take part of Christ out. But you still can't say that's the body. See? But it's accepting the person Christ Jesus and these other things come out on in. And they fit together. Let every member in this body this morning, let this little group of people, if we could pull the curtains down along on each side, and every person in here receive the person Christ Jesus, there would never be a fight. There would never be an argument. There would just be a perfect love. Yes, you still believe this and believe that, but it would just be so full of love. You just, see? That's it. Now, Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness. Now, I'll give you my estimation of what I think is the closest thing to an evidence that a man is a Christian than anything on earth. You know what it is? It's the veil of soul. A person that's always so hungering and thirsting for God. They just think they're doing enough. They just can't stand it. They've got to do something for God. They're full of love, and they're just a soul veil, just surveilling all that. The Bible said he that goes forth sowing in tears will doubtless return again, rejoicing, bringing with him precious seeds. Is that right? All those things. Now, look, if this church, if I say this morning, is this a group of people, and God said, now look, William Branham, I'm going to make you answer for that group of people. What you tell them? Now, do you want them all to shout? Sure, I want them to shout. You want them all to speak with tongues? I want every one of them to. Do you want them all to dance in the spirit? I want every one of them to. All right. Well, that's very good. But what would you rather have them to do? I'd rather have a church that has such a burden on their heart for prayer. If they just sit at the door and be here day and night and everything else, and in their house is constantly in prayer and humble and trying to get people to come to God and making calls at the hospital and visits when they're sick and trying to get people to come to church and do that, I'd rather have that than all the others put together. Although the other is right, it belongs in the church, but if I had to have it, I'd put that first. Because if you got that, the other will take place. If you got that, if you just get so hungry for God, shouting will take place. If you got so hungry for God, speaking in tongues will take place. If you got so hungry for God, you just keep on hungering, keep yourself, and you're going to see yourself getting different. Just remember, look out, there's another spirit trying to work itself in there. Stay right before God, humble, and serve your soul. Just be out of good old fashioned. I can prove by the Bible that the first time the angel of God rolled the lands to seal with the Holy Ghost, he only sealed those who cried and sighed for the abominations done in the city. Ezekiel 9, chapter, is that right? Set a seal up on the forehead of those who sigh and cry for the abominations that's done in the city. Now I want to ask you a question. I'll ask you this question. Now I'll answer it as quick as I can. What would take place today if the Holy Ghost went through Jeffersonville, New Albany, and Louisville to seal those this afternoon who would be at home, God's in the revival? Just the hunger for a meeting. Oh, God, look at the sins of the city. Oh, isn't it terrible, God? Oh, won't you please send a revival, God? Send some good preacher. Send some, Lord, let the Holy Ghost pray. Where would he feel? Look at that. Now, well, Brother Graham, what do you mean? I mean this. I say this now, rabbit walking on brittle thread. I believe that day is about finished. Then the thing is in.
The doors are closing together. You don't have that burden no more.
Billy Graham's had meetings all across the country, old Roberts and all the rest of us. We've cried and prayed and everything else, but you see, the doors are closing. Let him that's filthy, I'm quoting scripture, be filthy still. Let him that's righteous, righteous still. Let him that's holy, holy still. Now, believe the doors of the Gentiles are closing together. The day of the time of the season is about over. Just a few more to come in. There's a reason you can't have no time of meeting like that. There's no travel of soul. You don't get that burden. I remember years ago, you always should have talked about sawdust trails and things in the tabernacle. That didn't make it anymore. Not a bit more. But then, it was fresh. God was calling his church. I've seen him sob and cry and lay on the altar all night long. I went to their houses. You could hear him when he come up just in the bed chamber, man and women crying. Oh, God. You see him walk through the church. Now, I see the piano start playing. Jesus, feed me near the cross and the tears flowing down there. Walk into this church and walk down to another church and hear them. There's a precious sound. Oh, God, save my boy. Save my daughter, she's lost, Lord. You don't find that no more. What's the matter? The Spirit of God is withdrawn. Jesus said, predicted this, that because iniquity would abound, the love of many would fail. See, go curl, go away. The love is dying away. And what we got into it? Just a thorn. beat the piano up down real hard and go, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. See, like that. It's just a form. Don't fool yourself. Oh, just a fool. Listen, brother. I'm not talking about our tabernacle. I'm talking about what I find around the United States. It's become just a form. It's kind of acting what we used to have. And that prevail of souls is just about over. Oh, brother, sister, God have mercy on us. Oh, God have mercy. Look at these revivals, and they're just pounding and pounding and pounding, and the gospel being preached more clear. Yes. Look at it today. Just as soon as revival closes, way to go. You know what? Let me say this. I don't know why I can't get away from this, but look. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man took a net and cast into the sea. And when he had tucked in, he tucked every species of the sea, of course. He tucked in turtles, he tucked in snakes, he tucked in crawfish, water bugs, fish, see? And I believe the net. Now look, here's a turtle, and here's a fish. That turtle can help because he's a turtle. He was a turtle to begin with. His nature is a turtle, and that's all there was to it. I remember I said on Brother Fred. He's a turtle to begin with, he's a turtle now. He's a snake to begin with, he's a snake now. He's a water bug to begin with. And I believe the net has been thrown and thrown and thrown, but just about all the fish has been taken out of the pond. That's the reason you can't say, well, I hold my hand, yes, glory to God, I want to be saved. Praise the Lord. And a couple of days later, oh, Liddy, you know that stuff is not nonsense. I guess it was right. Why? The nature in dirt is a water bug to begin with. And I'm not certain to stop. The fish is just about combed out of the blade now. The net will be dried. Jesus will come. He'll take his fish in. See what I mean? Oh, if there's one speck of Christianity in you, if there's one speck of desire for you to serve God, hold it just as high as you can this morning and cherish it with all your heart. Sons of God. Take it unto them, daughters of man. Sure they were sons of God. Today they're still sons of God. But they're fallen sons of God. Some of them scripturally, how do they speak the scripture? They're sons of God. You know Satan is God's right-hand man?
Am I?
You know he knows more about the scripture than any theologian in the world today? Talk about he's turning seminaries upside down. Especially this Baptist one over here saying that Jesus Christ was born of a Roman German soldier. I got a book on that. I want to show it to you. All right, quickly. Exodus, oh, we never got that. Let's just cut back. I'll get it right quick now. I know I'm taking a lot of your time. Y'all brothers, for just a few minutes longer. Are the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation, the Jewish remnant, that we will be part of the rapture of the church over? Is not Israel of the beginning of the... Well, I'm sorry. Boys and Peter's... I'm sorry, just make I get this made out of it. Went through it, pushed through on the paper. It comes to pass during the 1,000 years of Christ, rather than that man can live as even modern religious power. Yes, sir. Now, just a minute to get this right. The question is the 144,000, which we are a remnant of, I want to press on that first, just to be sure that he's the 144,000. He is the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation, the Jewish remnant, that will be part of the rapture of the church. It's 144,000. I'll get this clear in my mind for a second. Are the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation, the Jewish remnant, that will be part of the rapture of the church? And I want to get that first. The 144,000 is the Jewish remnant, but not the rapture church. Look over now, Revelation, the 6th chapter, you'll see them. Then we get the other part on the other side. I had another question in there. Notice it. Look it out, Revelation 6, that's where you find it. Now we go to the beginning, it goes ahead and calls back the horse riders and so forth going forward. We're going to open let's get the 9th verse of the 6th chapter of Revelation. And when he opened the 5th seal, I'm in the wrong chapter. It's the 7th chapter. After these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth. Oh, what a beautiful question. What a little time to get into it and have prayer for the sick. After these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel descending from heaven, having the seal of the living God. Oh, be sure. This is a wonderful question. And now, watch the dramatic picture. John said, I hear away from the earth now in the spirit, looking back to the earth. And he saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Now, winds in the Bible, I haven't got time to run the scriptures for you, but we get this, if there is an answer correctly, then I'll get it some other time. The winds in the Bible means wars and strife. Like in Job's time, you know, the winds came down and it touched the suns and you know what I mean, it's trouble. See, now I saw four angels or four messengers. They were standing on the ends of the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now that's the coming of the Lord, what he's speaking of, see. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, so we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Servants. Now remember, the church is not his servant. We are his sons, not his servants. The Jew is always his servant. The church has never been his servant. It's been his children. See? The servants. And I heard the number of them were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000, all of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now look, all Jews, now watch, of the tribe of Judah, the sealed 12,000, the tribe of Reuben, 12, tribe of Gad, 12, Asher, 12, and of Nephilim, 12, and on down, Simeon, 12, and Asher, 12, and Zebulun, 12, and Benjamin, 12, and it's 12 tribes of Israel, so 12 times 12 is what? 144,000, now watch, all of the tribes of the children of Israel, now watch, them were servants of God. Now, maybe I can make this clear. Now, after this, behold, and lo, I saw a great multitude which no man could number. Now, here's another group. See? Of all nations, kindred, tongues, and people, stand before the throne and before the Lamb, having Lamb clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, listen to this Holy Ghost meeting. Salvation to our God instead of on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders, now watch, now John is in a vision, one of the elders said, said unto me, what are these? Now, John was a Jew, and he's seen the 12 tribes of Israel. He knew them. But what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence cometh they? Where'd they come from? Now, you've seen the Jews. You know them, every one. Number them off in tribes and told how many thousands were sealed. But who are these of every kindred, tongue, and nation? Where'd they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. John knows. I don't know where they come from. I'm a Jew, and I'm standing there. I see my people and see them, sir. And he said unto me, these are they which have come out of the great tribulation. See? The great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood, not the membership of the church, but in the blood of the Lamb. See? Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. Now, what does this random serve me at? In the house. That's the bride. Miss Neville, that's where she's staying. In the house. Serving. That's where the bride is. Not the servants, the bride. Serve. In the temple. And they set up upon the throne, shall dwell with them, and they shall hunger no more. And missed a few meals, looks like, didn't want to be sure. Hunger no more, neither shall they thirst, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of them shall lead them and feed them, and shall lead them to the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe all tears. That's a crying bunch got in there. From their eyes, see? Now, notice. They were hungered and thirsted and cried and mourned and begged and come out of tribulation and said, look at what's going over. Oh, they're crazy. Oh, my, see? But they cried and they begged. They didn't fuss and stew and they just cried and begged. And, see? And they have all kindred, tongues, and nations. Now the 144,000 was the Jews. Abraham was God's servant. The Jews has always been God's servant. The Gentile has never been his servant. Now, just have to hurry through this one because we got two or three more, and I'll hurry just as quick as I can, not to try to overrun these, but I'll come right back and get them again next Sunday, if the Lord's willing, and spend more time on it. But look, now he saw all four corners of the earth. There's an angel standing on four corners of the earth. Actually, I thought it was round. Now, don't keep them having four corners. All right. Now, on four corners of the earth, holding the four winged boards, hear what the wind's going in, the wars and strife to come all over the world. When did that ever happen? Never until the First World War. Holding the winds, and they were striving, going in to take the word. And now here come another one. Now, if you watch and refer to that angel, he's the same angel that come out in Ezekiel 9 when the man comes from the higher gates with slaughtering weapons and going through Jerusalem to slaughter the Jews. Remember? He says, hold it, stop it. So you go through the city and put a mark on every forehead that sighs and cries for the abomination done in the city. Is that right?
Right.
Then after he did that, then he let him go in his slaughter. That was the persecution of the Titus. Now, he sees the same angel come forth again, coming from the east, from where Jesus shall come, and he has the seal of the living God.
Glory!
Now, what is the seal of the living God? All that you'll be disputing in the world today, some say it's keeping the Sabbath day, some say it's doing this and that, but the Bible said the Holy Spirit is the seal of God.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption.
Amen.
See? All right. It's the Holy Spirit. Then what comes? Now look. Oh, when I think of this, my heart jumps. Now he said, hold the four winds until. In other words, we seal the servants of our God in their forehead. The servants, the Jews. John Turner said, I've seen 144,000 sealed away.
Amen.
Now the winds all started in, and they would have covered the earth, and the battle of Armageddon would have took place in the First World War. But now, I have to get another scripture here to show you. Jesus talks about the people that, he said, some come in at 1 hour, another hour, and there's 11th hour people. The 11th hour people. Now, you who are spiritual, read between the lines, because I've got to jump here and hurry. Now, look. Come in the 11th hour people. And right? Now, the first come in and receive a penny, the next come in and receive a penny, and the 11th hour people got the same penny that they began at the first. Is that right? The 11th hour. Now, watch. The Jews of our post are following now. Now, when the First World War comes, we're to chuck every Jew that scatters all the nations, like the first scripture that today was asked, how he scattered them above all nations. Right, y'all out? And here come the winds coming into Jerusalem everywhere, a world war. And he said, hold! Stop it! Until we seal the servants of our God. In other words, we are bringing them in from all the nations everywhere. Bring them in. Because we've got to get them out of here to seal that 144,000. Hold it! And the World War One stopped on the 11th month of the year, the 11th day in the month, the 11th hour in the day. At the 11th hour, people could come in the last call for the Jews. And he's going to receive the same baptism of the Holy Ghost as they got back at the beginning, back at Pentecost. Be baptized the same way and everything. The 11th hour, people moving in. He says, hold it now until we have sealed. How long do we hold it? Until we have sealed the servants of our God.
Amen.
Now, we're sealing the Gentiles. They've been sealed away thousands times, thousands through these persecutions and tribulations. They're sealed away. But wait a minute. Just a minute. Don't let the time come till we seal these servants. And he sealed 144,000. Then the winds was let loose again. Now, notice, and since the First World War, there has constantly been a persecution against the Jews. Upraised Hitler for the Second World War, and when he did, he begins to, well, he's going to tear the whole world up, ride around. Is that right? He's going to tear it up and ride around. Yes, he was. Everything had to be communism. You remember when he was going to put me in jail and ask the preacher to stand that guy in the red that night? Yes, sir. Said there'd be three isms and then only he'd come from one ism, and that ism would bring forth the persecution that would send Jesus Christ to the earth again.
Amen.
That's exactly so. That was communism and the Hitler and Nazi and so forth, and how the fascism of Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin. I said, one of them will take the place. I don't know which one it'll be, but I believe it'll be the king of the North. Sure, do you remember those things and how those have been called and Brother Mahoney off the way back there? And they said, if you preach that, and on this NRA thing, I said, that's not no mark of the beast. Certainly not, it's a religious boycott, not that. I said, that's just a forerunner. Get the people ready to know it's this beginning, right here is the beginning of sorrow. Right here is where we start in. Right here is when the time begins to set folks down. Notice, at that time, now the persecution come upon the Jews. And they begin to persecute them from every nation and drive them right into Jerusalem. Is that right? Everyone, they're going right. And we will have 144,000. Look over here a little farther, Revelation. Where John, Mr. Bohannon down here said, he said, I couldn't read that Revelation. Said, there was a bride standing on the Mount Sinai. Said, there was a bride up down in heaven. And said, there was a bride in the water, dragon, spurting water out of his mouth to make war with it. He said, I said, Mr. Bohannon, the
the thing of it is, you've got the wrong thing called the bride. I said the Jews will stand on Mount Sinai, the 144,000. The bride correctly was in heaven with Jesus, and the dragon that spurted water out of his mouth will make war with the remnant of the woman's seed. That was this group here that had to go down. See? The remnant of the woman's seed, the sanctified church, without receiving the Holy Ghost, that's the one who made war with. See? Here they are, three tribes, always keep them three in mind. And here we see around the 144,000, around that great redeemed bride, and this remnant was left. There they are, there's the Jews there, sealed 144,000. Here's the ones that sanctified that refused to get the Holy Ghost. The church will persecute against me. A Roman church and them will persecute them. But the bride's already raptured into heaven. There they are, placed exactly the way the Bible said it would be. See? So the 144,000 are Jews, God's servants. And when the Holy Ghost gospel is preached to them, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just exactly like they did in the beginning, the Gentile dispensation is finished, the church is sealed away, the rapture comes, the Gentile day, the gospel is being preached, they were hammered amongst the Gentiles, pulling the same, trying to get every feature in the water to come in, and look out of the biggest bar of the hall with all turtles and water spiders and so forth, just as soon as the revival is over, they go right back out in the world again, the feast is almost already strung up. See what I mean? The gospel's been preached. You don't hear no more crying, no more mourning, no more sighing, crying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They likely come in, yeah, they lay hands on them in the hundreds, and they carry on and dance maybe or something like that. That's all right. But that's just the attributes. The person Christ Jesus produces a real thing. They keep that person secure in Christ until he comes. There he is. And that one's no more crying. The doors is just about shut. The net just went forth. It's about as fast time as a few to pull like that to get into the kingdom of God. The doors are closing. Then what's the next thing? The Jews have got to receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Along with they persecuted and made fun of. And there, as soon as the Holy Ghost is represented there, they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Gentile church is raptured. And those who refuse, and it's all for their justification. The dragon, the Roman power, spurts the water which will unite with communism and take the church into a persecution like that. There they are, pictured exactly. Oh, brother, when we see it coming, that's the reason I'm praying, that's the reason I'm crying to God, Lord, let me get to those Jews. Let me start in down in Africa, work with a few of those Gentiles and Mohammedans. Let me go over here to India and try to produce and say to them the real Lord Jesus Christ with his power, his miracles, his baptism, amen, everything in the Holy Ghost. Then when we come to Jerusalem, Brother Beeler, this is what he's asking about. When we come to Jerusalem, instead of that, I say, now, if Jesus is the Son of God, is raised from the dead, he knows the things just like he did back there in the beginning. He can produce the same life that he did back there. And if he does, will you accept him as your personal Savior? And then show the God by his great power and means of his resurrected power, he's with us. Then when they do that, say, now, you that have received him as your personal Savior, I hope there'll be thousands of them. Say the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is right here for you. There the gospel goes back to the Jews right there at that time. Then there'll be a revival amongst those Jews out there. It'll cast thousands and tens of thousands and 144,000 into the kingdom of God. Will be sealed by the sealing angel. I trust that he's coming for me. That's the way it is from us now, with his seal in his hand. Then all I want to do is shut it on there. I'll set a persecution here and a persecution there. And I've run the Jews and drove them as hard as I could. And they drove back in. Many Jews in the United States, which you want to escape from, have already received the Holy Ghost. But I've got all the 144,000 that's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right there, as soon as that sealing angel begins to seal that 144,000, the death house just still is closed. And the Jews take the Holy Ghost and the Jews in their ear and Bible. That'll sweep the entire world. Hallelujah. And the power of God will be manifested amongst the Jews. Oh, how marvelous.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, my. You see that? Isaiah, we got that Spirit of God. Now, let's see. If the Israel, if you could read that, brother,
to come to pass during the 1,000-year reign of Christ rather than something that man can bring, as so many modern religions tell us.
Ever who you are, my dear brother or sister, looks like a man's hand line, but anyhow, ever who you are exactly right. That's when the plowshares will be when the swords will be beat into plowshares, that'll bring forth the millennium reign, and all these modernistic religious cults that's going around trying to educate people into the kingdom of God, that'll be when God himself will come in the supernatural being, in the supernatural power, to the supernatural believing people, and will receive the supernatural power that'll mold God's sons. Hallelujah. It'll never be the rewriting of it, it'll be by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Then the world will study war no more.
Every nation today, every power, every kingdom is controlled by the devil. The Bible says so. And one of these days, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he'll rule and reign 1,000 years upon the earth.
The rest of the church. Exactly. That's exactly right, dear reader. The 144,000
is servants. The great number which no man can call the number are the Gentiles. Just a minute now. One more little thing on there. I can't. I'll at least have congregational prayer then. Look here, I think this is more important right now. I want to pray for the sick, but we'll hurry up instead of having this sermon. We just go right through it. I want to ask you something. Here's even another. Now I'll just have to take this and get it next Sunday, I guess. Look, friends, on this, how beautiful. Look, I want you to watch now closely. This person who asked this question, 144,000. Now, that is a servant. They are servants. If you notice positioning in the old scripture, always look at the shadow. If you want to see what the positive is, right. Look back under and see what it is. Now, that vice versa, since the cross, and look what the positive is if you want to see what the shadow is. Back there was leaning up to the cross. We had to look back there to see the shadow, to see what the cross would be. Now you have to look from the cross, look back, see what the shadow is.
Amen.
See? Look what Christ was in the days when he's here on earth. What he was then, he is now. This is his shadow. See what I mean? You know, in the beginning, you want to explain it. That's what it is. Now, if I'm looking some back there, I have to look what the shadow was to find out what this will be. What the cross was. Now, one day there was a sin in Israel. And there's a man by the tribe of the name of Levi. They pulled his sword. And they went with Moses to the camp and they destroyed everything there was sin. Is that right?
Amen.
God looked down and said, because you did this and sin for me, your all these others will serve you. You go right into the temple, it's free. Is that right? You stay right in the temple. And the rest of them will work and will bring in a tip and take care of you. Is that right?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. If you can see what that temple was, that Levite was the bride. Now, when sin is awaking on every hand, the Levites is pulling their swords. The Holy Ghost born bride is sending out saying Jesus Christ in the positive, is Jesus Christ in the negative. Just the same, sin still sin. It's wrong to do these things.
Amen.
But stand there with a sword. God says, come ye now, the blessed of my Father. That is the bride. There's the servants, and look where the servants have came. 12 on this side, I mean, 4 on this side, 4 on that side, 4 on that side, and 4 on that side. 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are 144,000. Look, in the book of Revelation, he saw the city with his 12 foundations. Upon each gate was the name of an apostle, and 12 gates, and around it was the 12 tribes. Sitting around in there was the redeemed. Hallelujah. Black, white, yellow, brown, and all. The blood washed will be his servant.
Amen.
He said they'll be with him. They'll settle not fall anymore. They'll not hunger or thirst anymore. And through a great ceaseless age will they live and reign with Christ forever. Him the king and them the queen. Rule and reign forever. The Lord bless you. Amen. I keep me. God willing, I'll be right back with him again. Maybe tonight. Man, tonight or whenever, brother, we'll get together and talk. The Lord bless you. You love him with all your heart? Oh, I want to see him. Want to look up on his face. There to live forever by his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. When tears all pass, home at last. Ever to rejoice on my heavenly way. As I travel to this land, singing as I go, appointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Not to the church, to Calvary. That's where we're coming. Not to some theology, but to the crimson flow. To Jesus Christ, the life is in the blood, and he is the blood of God, which is our life. It is in us now. Blessed be the tie that binds. While we're going to pray for the sick, I want a special right now.
No, Sister Gertie, her daughter, said, Willa, come here. This is the original old song. I want you to sing it for me. Only Believe. I remember walking in that door, and this song has followed me all across the nation. And I wanted to sing. She was the first one to play it, the first one to hear it. A buddy of mine wrote it, Paul Rader. And before we prayed for the sick, I want them to sing it. While God's blessings rest upon the people for the sick. We've taken a lot of time. I'm sorry, brother. Never. God bless you. Do you have questions? I do. Oh, and they were real good ones. They were just so good. And there's just another bunch. And really, some of them hasn't been thoroughly went through yet. Oh, there's just so much to go through then. May the Lord bless. Already keep your mind on Christ now. And let's change from the question back to divine healing. How many here to be prayed for? Let's see your hands. Want to be prayed for? All right, we're going to bring them forth and pray for them just in a moment. These are our sisters. Thank you. Praise God. Father, make it ready. Hanging out above you now is a crown. This is his body.
Father. We're so thankful today for this scripture and for this song. Only believe we can hear you say to the father who had the boy with epilepsy, only believe for all things are possible. Now we pray, God, as these people are coming to the altar to be prayed for, seeing that we are here negative, just a negative. The positive is just around us. The immortal spirit that was upon us shall never die. It will be all through Jesus' ages. And we go forth now as your anointed servant to help our fellow man to receive help. For only one alternative, Father, that is that they would glorify you. And now, may each one standing here at the altar this morning take suffering. Now may the Holy Spirit grant healing to every one of them. And we as your little flock that the sisters were just saying of. Hear not, little flock. We know, Lord, it's your goodwill to give the kingdom to those. And we know that you're always near, for you said, wherever two or three would gather in my name, I'll be in their midst. Whatever they ask, I'll give it. Now, according to the word of God, which cannot fail, God's word, grant healing to every one, Lord. And they're standing here waiting as we go to anoint with oil and to lay hands upon and to ask for deliverance. May each of them go to their seat, back to their homes, praising you normally, perfectly, and well. And return again tonight, Lord, as a service, giving praise and glory to God for their healing. Grant it, Lord. While we have our heads bowed, Brother Neville, come with me if you will. I want Brother Freeman, Brother Deacon, or somebody here, and Brother Cox, we all come here and help me with y'all. The deacon chair of the church is what I'm calling for. This is the time. And if we pray for them, you can help them if you will. I want everyone in here to be real sincere. And as we pray for the sick, I want you to pray with us. See a little boy sitting back there now that a while ago walked out of the hall there and had a hemorrhage. And the Lord Jesus so wonderfully stopped the bloodline. Mercy be praised. His name alone. Just see how many has recovered in the last few days. Just think the very Lord Jesus that was back there in the days of the apostles are right here now. And it's just lining up the end of the Gentiles. A great moon going amongst the supernatural believers. Because we believe that God is here. To think, your glorified body is right here at the tabernacle now. The presence of the Holy Spirit, which is your glorified condition. You're glorified in Christ right now. Those who He justified, He glorified. And your own glorified body is standing near you right now. In Christ Jesus. To give to you a strength like a charge going into a battery. The Holy Spirit in you is to charge your body to give you new strength. To heal you from the sickness that you've got. To make you well. Now, I want the church, if they will, with our sisters, if they'll sing that song to you again. Each one of you, at the altar, friends, if I am a deceiver, I'm ignorant of the fact. I'm trying to be a Christian. And with all my heart, I'm trying to help people. And I'm trying to help you, God's children. And if I love my Heavenly Father, I love you, His children. If I'm deceiving you, I've tried to deceive God. You're His children. No one can deceive God. I'm trying to help you. That's the reason God is blessing my efforts. And maybe they're very poor, and some of them I'm ashamed of. And God knows I'm ashamed of and repent of my efforts. But I'm doing all that I can to help God's kingdom and to help you children here. Yeah. Receive Jesus this morning as your healer. Right here at the platform, you'll go back to your seats and to your home and be normally well. Now, if He'll heal hundreds here and thousands around the world, why wouldn't He believe you? Just only believe. All right, sister. But I never want you to start anointing.